In the fall each year we all congregate, the vows all gathered at the church of tailgate. The scriptures reading from the book of Munson, our favorite verse, my God of precious. Drunk and obnoxious, we're Georgia faith, ain't nothing finer in the land. Now the 3,000 of our best friends, it's Saturday in that thing.
Podcast. I'm your host, Seth Saunders, and it is SEC Championship Game Week. It is Championship Week all throughout college football, and with us today to talk through all of that is the Athletic's Seth Emerson. Seth, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Seth. Whenever you introduce yourself as Seth Saunders, I'm like, are you saying my name wrong? But no, that's your name.
Yeah, it's the rare occasion where you're in the same space with another Seth. I don't find many, but glad that you're one of them for sure. We chatted back in Nashville at Media Days.
Yes.
And if we could go back in time and have that conversation again, and I told you this Georgia player is having the year that they are having, you would say, no way. Who is that player for you this year?
Wow. Beck was the one that we wondered about, but I think you could have taken his stats now. I'm not sure taken is a word. Taken what his stats are now and told us in July, these will be his stats. You'd go, okay, all right. Malachi Starks has had a really good year. He's announced as a Jim Thorpe finalist. Last year as a freshman, you saw some signs of it, but you also saw some questions about dependability. He's taking care of the dependability thing. Did you have a name in mind? Is there someone that you think about?
I think the offensive line in general
has been really good, especially if you like accounted for the injuries. If you told us Amarius Mims would be out six games and the O-line would play this way, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, I'll tell you one I didn't see coming is probably Tyke Smith. I think given the impact that he's had, that's not one I would have earmarked beginning of the year. And I'll be honest with you, Seth, if we're having an honest conversation, I don't know that I would have pegged Kamari Lassiter to have the type of year that he's had. I mean, to be shut down corner, put himself in the top 50 of the NFL draft conversation, I don't think I would have predicted that.
Yeah, he's taking it to another level. Tyke a little bit more. Tyke was a guy that I know injuries were a reason that he wasn't on the field, but there was an adjustment period for him after he transferred from West Virginia. He has, other than some hiccups here and there, which, like, when you play defense at Georgia, Smith has not had many of those hiccups, but, like, I think it was on him, the Vanderbilt touchdown to open it, and the and Dalen Everett has, become kind of the whipping boy just because he's the other guy. He's the other cornerback. Yeah. And when you play at Georgia, when the other team is going to need to pass more to get back into games, particularly with Georgia's offense this year, and when Georgia's defensive strategy is geared around stopping the run, the secondary is going to be exposed. You're going to give up some plays in the secondary. And Tyke has not given up many. And Dalen Everett, relative to – what people may think, hasn't actually given up as many as people think either, but Lassiter has been shut down.
Yeah. If I was going to give you one on offense, probably the name I would throw out, just given how I feel like Kirby is the type where if you read the context clues, you kind of have to figure out what he's trying to say. And I just thought a lot of the language that he had placed around Ra-Ra Thomas's availability and readiness in the offense post-spring throughout the summer, I didn't expect he would have the flashes that he's had, and to be at the point where with him being questionable coming into Saturday that we go, man, would love to have Ra-Ra. I don't know that that's one I would have picked. I know that was a huge addition. The transfer portal, he obviously had a monster year at Mississippi State last year, but just given some of the stuff Kirby had said, I don't know that I had expected that. Maybe throw Dylan Bell in that conversation too, although there was a lot of positive things being said about him post-G-Day, so maybe less so, but boy, he has been really a placeholder given the fact that Ladd hasn't been in every week, going to go, 60, 65 snaps type thing.
Well, even Dejon Edwards, if you look at what he's done and how impactful he was until the last few weeks, and he's still been impactful, but Kendall Milton has fully healthy, really emerged the last few weeks. But Dejon Edwards did miss the first two games, but those were, you know, it was Ball State and UT Martin. But in that period, like those middle eight games, really emerged as a really good running back. And the questions you had in the preseason about, you know, Milton's availability, talking about how much impact maybe Paul might have coming back or Roderick Robinson. And then it turns out that as we're sitting here right now, Dejon Edwards and Kendall Milton are a really good top two.
Yeah, boy, Kendall Milton has been a revelation the past few weeks. I mean, I think it's the Kendall Milton everybody anticipated. And I think if this is what he looks like healthy, boy, look out. You know, I mean, in some ways I've thought about, could he end up being a 2014 Ezekiel Elliott type, right? Where he gets healthy at the right time and just explodes onto the national scene during the playoff run. Hopeful playoff run. Obviously, a lot of that's going to hinge on Saturday. But, man, and good for him, too, because he's weathered all that and had a great attitude and been a good teammate. Yeah. And so, I don't know, happy for the kid. And that's been great to see. Speaking of Saturday, you have, you know, seen a lot of these and witnessed kind of the buildup and all these type things. Does this one feel different than the ones in the past? Or are there still some of those lurking potholes that sit out there?
You know, it definitely feels different from the other Alabama SEC championship matchups. And I guess there were only two, 2018 and 2021. You kind of lumped 2017 in there, but that was natty. And those all seemed like hump games. Those all seemed like big games for the program. And obviously the national championship in 2021 season against Alabama was huge for the program going in. This one feels like another SEC championship. Now it's against Alabama, but you don't hear people talking about their trepidation and angst. And I'm addressing this in my mailbag because there is someone saying, or, you know, should I feel angst or do I feel angst about it because it's Saban over there? But it's angst that Georgia's season at 12-0 could still end not in the playoffs and the hopes for a three-peat end because they play a really good team in the SEC championship. I don't hear so much that it's Alabama as in the nemesis, the team that, you know, can they ever beat them, blah, 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 because they did 2 years ago. And in those intervening 2 years, Alabama's looked fairly mortal. And I think a lot of Georgia fans kind of deep down say, we're better than this team. And if they lose on Saturday, which very well could happen, that it won't be because Alabama has some hex over Georgia or Nick Saban's a better coach than Kirby Smart. It'll be because football, something happened. Like there was bad turnovers. You know, this unit didn't do well. They didn't contain Jalen Milroe. The offense picks a bad day to have a bad day, have its really first bad day in a while. In that sense, yes, it feels a lot different. It's not a no pressure situation the way last year was against LSU because you knew Georgia was in no matter what. And you know, you also felt like Georgia was a prohibitive favorite in that game. But the pressure is all about this season's goals. It's not about like the program is going to fall down if they don't win.
Yeah. I think too, it's, the giant looks different now. Right. And maybe some of that's because they finally slayed it, but I also think they just look mortal. And I think that's something that you couldn't say about a lot of those Nick Saban coach teams in the teens. They were just, And I think some of that started with line of scrimmage. I just don't look at this Alabama team and go, boy, we're fixing to get pushed around for the next, 60 minutes. I don't see that. I think Georgia's line has depth and will be just fine. And they don't have the maulers that you're used to seeing them have where they go, it doesn't matter who we have on the edge, we're going to control line of scrimmage and do what we want. And yeah, I think that part of it's different for sure. But I do think you bring up a valid point about winning that game in the 21 season in the national title game to just – there was so much unspoken, I feel like, downward pressure mm-hmm. about that specific team. And we had always talked about on our show that I want it to be them that we beat in some type of game like that, because absent that, that'll always be there. It'll always mm-hmm. linger. And I feel like they've been different since then. They really, truly can step into this. We're the opponent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, nameless, faceless opponent, it's just us. We do what we do, and it'll be fine. And I think there's some merit to that. You posted an article this week about Jalen Milroe and the possibility of the challenges that he brings out. And I think that was dead on. I think he is a combination of the things that have given them the most trouble. Where do you see their vulnerability on defense the most with what Alabama is currently built to do?
Let me see if I can remember, pull up the numbers, because I have them going in my mailbag. Alabama is second in the SEC in both defensive yards per pass and rushing yards per attempt. They're second in passing defense, fourth in rushing defense, second overall. Scoring wise, though, they've given up at least 20 points to their last six SEC opponents. And I think it was 17 to the one before that. Their best game was 10 to Ole Miss. So, I mean, they're gettable. It's a balanced defense, but their strength is pass rush. With Dallas Turner and just overall their sacks, 30 something sacks, but that goes against one of Georgia's strengths, which is pass defense, which is, that's what you saw play out in the Tennessee game, where Tennessee's pass rush and sack numbers were very good, and then Georgia just held up. And this is with Amarius Mims now back pretty much at full strength, it seems like. He's had 2-3 games starting at this point since he had the surgery. It's just got to be a game where Georgia plays its game. And the great thing about the Georgia offense is they are not, for most of the season, it was pass first, and the run was just something to complement it. But you knew that the pass was the strength. The way that the running game has looked with Kendall Milton now complementing Dejon Edwards the last few games, Georgia's in the position where it can be the classic, take what the defense is giving them. If the pass is struggling a little bit, then they can lead a little bit on the run or the other way around. If Alabama ends up getting some stops and having more success against Georgia's offense than expected, then yeah, Georgia may be in some trouble, because I think this Georgia defense has shown that it's going to do enough to allow its offense to put the game away, but they've given up at least 10 points to, I don't remember however many, but maybe every SEC opponent. Vanderbilt got points. Auburn got points. But their max that they've given up is 23. So there's a certain consistency there that they haven't been blown up. So it's a game Georgia could lose, but it's a game that if Georgia plays its A game, I think they're going to win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that, and this has been something we've kind of submitted over the last month, and that's, to us, the only team left on Georgia's schedule that can beat Georgia is Georgia. If they do what they're supposed to do, they're the best football team in America. I don't think there's any questioning that. It's just like, to your point, though, that they haven't had a game like that yet, right, where they've lost the turnover battle and it's hurt them, or mm-hmm. Carson has had a bad game or put them in situations where it flipped the field enough to hurt them. And just haven't really dealt with that. And I think one of the craziest things for me, and maybe it'd make a good mailbag question, but I'd love to know where Georgia sits in punts nationally. I just feel like Brett Thorson has not punted a lot at all. Georgia's offense has been magnificent from an efficiency perspective.
Yeah, they just announced the Ray Guy candidates, and you knew that he wasn't going to be one of the finalists because he just hasn't been allowed to. I could tell you right here, Georgia has punted the third least times in the country, 27. Yeah. Oregon at 26 and LSU at 21 are the only ones who have punted less. And that's not because of a massive amount of turnovers or – and you know, and you don't actually hear much about Georgia's red zone offense being a problem either. Like there's, you know, there's games here and there, but you know, they've been pretty productive there. They just, they're averaging over 40 points a game. You know, it's been really good. And it's when you were saying the only team that can beat Georgia's itself, you know, I mean, we'll see if they play a Michigan and somehow Michigan's style. I'm skeptical of Michigan against Georgia because Michigan is built too much like Georgia, and I don't think you can out Georgia. I think you need to play the way Ohio State does. You need to play a little bit the way Alabama does, where you've got the same amount of you can match them in talent as can Ohio State, but you can be a little more spectacular on offense too. And do some different things on offense that give Georgia's defense some problems. When you were saying that, I was kind of thinking about Missouri. Missouri played about as well, and they have that style. They have that style of offense. Missouri played about as well as it could against Georgia, and they still lost. I don't think Missouri came away from that game feeling anything other than we just don't have their talent level. But the talent they did have played really well, and they schemed well and everything. Georgia is in the opposite end, which is like you said, if they play up to their ability, no one can beat them.
We talked a little bit about Carson. I want to ask you this. I think we all anticipated the NFL arm and he can make all the throws, and we knew all of that. But have you been struck by his mobility and escapability, one, and then two, and I think this is the one that has stuck with me the most with his progression throughout the year, but his command of the offense. I mean, he has made multiple checks in games this year that put them in fantastic situations. The one I remember off the top of my head, and I think it was the Mizzou game. I could be misremembering this, but he makes a check at the line to, I think they went check run to pass and or check run from one side to the other. It's a handoff to Dejon Edwards, and he essentially goes untouched over the right side, 20-yard touchdown run. Mm-hmm. And I've just been really, really impressed with his gravitas within the offense. And again, I don't think that's something I would have told you when we chatted back in July.
No, and that's a good point. And the mobility part definitely is the surprise to me. He has been so smart about when he runs. There's only been like one or two times when you're like, oh, he decided too quickly to go. But you never, it seems, I can't at least immediately think of a time where he stayed in the pocket too long. And when he does run, even against Georgia Tech the other day, he had a long run where he got away from I think it was a linebacker. And you're like, oh, okay. You know, he's got, you know, it's not just about making the smart decision when to run. It's there's some mobility there. It's not Stetson Bennett level, but it's faster than JT Daniels to throw him under the bus. but he was, you know, JT had the surgeries, so that's a little unfair, but you're right about his command of the offense and just his performing when the lights are on, performing under pressure, which I think when I was making the rounds over the summer and people would ask me about Beck, I'd say, well, that's the question. I think no one questions the arm. And probably no one questions his command of the offense, or at least his knowledge of the offense, having been in the system for 3 years, and everyone knew that it wasn't really changing from Munkin to Bobo. But it was how he would do that clutch gene that Stetson had.
Yep.
And Carson's shown it. He showed it in the South Carolina game. He showed it down the stretch against Auburn. This team has had to do things playing from behind, not like You know, not even the way they had to against Missouri and Ohio State last year. Their deficits have not been that big as late in games. It's been more that, like, the Auburn game was close for a while. South Carolina was 14-3 at the half. And I keep thinking back to that video that the SEC Network took of halftime of the locker room against South Carolina to show Carson Beck, and he winks at the camera. This is a guy who is in his third start. This is his first time under a real pressure situation. It was almost like unearned confidence that he's just winking at the camera and he's showing swagger and like, I got this. And it's like, if that guy's like that at that point, that kind of bodes well for down the stretch.
Yeah. And it was difficult to quantify with Stetson, and it's obviously difficult to quantify with Carson, but it just feels to me like because of that, he's got this innate charisma or swag or whatever you want to call it that then allows his teammates the ability to say, hey, this is our guy. Like, we're gonna file up behind him, and he's going to take us where we want to go. And, you know, you can't put a price on that. You can't measure that. It's just – but you have to have it. You need it. And so I think that's been a big deal. All right, I want to nail you down. If you're going to – forecast and tell us what the game is going to look like Saturday, how do you see things going?
I my new kick is I'm not a predictions guy. I'm a percentages guy, which, in, you know, because when you make a prediction, it's like, you know, oh, you know, so-and-so predicted this and blah, 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 and then was wrong. I'm like, I like the percentages thing. Like, for instance, it was 100% Georgia was going to beat UT Martin. It was like 90% yeah, they were like going to 90% they were going to beat South Carolina. And for a while, that 10%. Like, so you, whenever the upset happens, you can say, hey, I said. So where I've landed is 65% chance for Georgia in this game. And I see a game that's in the 20s or 30s for both teams. That, you know, that doesn't mean that you don't get an unexpectedly, if anybody out here is using this to decide whether to bet the over or the under. You know, sometimes you have those games where the offenses do well enough to move the ball, but not quite get in the end zone. So that means the other offense has more yardage to go. And then you have long drives, which you could see with both teams here. Maybe a little bit less so with Alabama, but maybe against Georgia's run defense that happens. But anyway, I see a game where Georgia, you know, covers the spread, but not handily, but it never feels like Georgia's going to lose the game. But again, when I say 65% chance for Georgia, it means 35% chance for Alabama, which is one of the few teams out there that has as much talent as Georgia. So, yeah. And it's a huge game. I think at this point, if Georgia loses, I think they're likely out. Unless Florida State and Texas both lose.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a you got to handle your own business type thing. I don't think this is one where you want to be leaving it to chance and waiting around. I think a lot of things will have to happen for the SEC to get two in, and you just can't tell me they're leaving out a one-loss SEC champion. I don't foresee that. Last question, and I know this is all speculative, but if you had to put odds on it, which of the walking wounded for Georgia is most likely to see the field on Saturday?
Bowers is the easy one. I think he was held out. McConkey and Thomas, I don't know about. They seem slightly under 50-50 at this point. It's not encouraging that they weren't even in uniform. After that, Tate Ratledge. You know, if Georgia's offensive line were like in a dire state, I would say like close to 100% Tate Ratledge plays. But he, you know, as good as he is, that O-line has played pretty well. That O-line has handled its business with Marius Mims out for six games. So that could be a case where they don't force it with him. Or I don't know. They may throw him in there. It may be all hands on deck. But I would go in that order. Bowers, then Ratledge, then McConkey, then Thomas. I don't think Jamon Dumas Johnson is ready to play. I mean, Kirby has been coy about him this week, so maybe he's pulling out all the stops on Saban. But reading the available tea leaves. That's the way I'd rank everything.
All right, Seth. Well, we always appreciate your insight. Before we let you go, please tell our listeners how they can support you.
At theathletic.com. Hopefully you're a subscriber at this point. Our Cyber Monday, Black Friday sale just finished, but I'm sure we'll have one in December. And just go to The Athletic. There's too many. Social media is a mess at this point. I won't plug any of those outlets at this point until all that clears up.
Well, and if y'all are not already Athletic members, just to be reading Seth's stuff, you are not listening to our show, because that is compulsory reading for our show. We've always enjoyed your work, regardless of the publication that you were at. It's always outstanding, Seth, and we appreciate you taking time to chat with us about the title game this week.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, George is better now.